Blog Talk Radio.
Don't walk away.
keep your head to the sky. Oh, we always try to play something appropriate for our opening bumper tune, and, well, I think that's apropos for what we have in store for you tonight. Oh, did I not mention, welcome to another edition of Progressive, and we like to say moving forward, Productive News Weekly. Yes, we just kind of changed it up a little bit this year, and that's what we'll be going by. I just like the aspect of being productive, a little more absolute, because progressive can be a little nebulous at times. So welcome to another edition of Productive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and I'm your host this evening and most Thursdays, although in the past we've kind of been doing some virtual things this past year or so as we regroup for a new programming. Same objective, keeping everything real and live, grounded, bringing you news and information that's intended to encourage you and inspire you and enlighten you and empower you and hopefully instill you to get involved and make a difference in your loved ones and friends' lives and of course, your own to help uplift our communities and homes and society at large. That's the goal. That's the mission. And so this evening, I am so thrilled, plumb pleasingly pleased that I can say to you, we have a very special guest. I like to say a friend of Productive News Weekly is, well, this particular guest, and yeah, I'm not mentioning the name for a reason because those of you who are on the mail list know who this is. I'm getting all broken up. It's just such a thrill. But if you're not on the mail list, drop me an email to Daryl_CLA18 or just drop a mail email to our email site, which is productivenews@outlook.com. So with that said, enough of the tease. This evening we have none other than the one and only Dr. Glenn Mendoza, respectfully referred to as Master Glenn, and respectfully I say because Master Glenn truly is a master, recognized worldwide as only one of a few who are considered masters, in fact, in his art, his science, and craft of pranic healing. Although Dr. Mendoza is also a medical doctor, well acclaimed, I might add. His accolades speak for him in that area as well, where in New York he served as the director of neonatology for over 20 years and has directed his efforts towards improving clinical outcomes for the smallest and most vulnerable newborns in upstate New York. So truly a man of many talents. And this evening, you're going to get just a taste of a few of them. So hold on, buckle up, call your friends and neighbors and loved ones, and let them know that there's a treat going on Productive News Weekly this evening. Of course, you can always catch us at the archives at blogtalkradio.com/Renford. And you'll just scroll down until you see Daryl Clark's programming, and we're there for the last several years by topic and guest and date. So I mentioned we have, for the few of you who are new listeners, and by the way, welcome, and we hope that you'll enjoy and share going forward, Master Glenn is a master in pranic healing, and we'll talk a little bit about that. It's a healing modality, probably, and if I'm not mistaken, one of the fastest growing healing modalities right now that's going on. He's also, as I mentioned, a medical doctor, but he specializes also in astrology and astronomy, and also, he is a specialist in meditation, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So what I'd like to do this evening is kind of break this up a little bit, and hopefully we'll have time to give you a little bit of a treat, because Master Glenn travels all over the world. He's very well and much in demand. And so I'm hoping this evening we may have a little bit of extra time versus our normal, 15 or 10 minutes, and maybe he can expand on a few things. Maybe we can get into some of the energy aspect of what he does and how you might even be able to partake in being able to learn some of these skills. So this evening, I'd like to, because we are in the throes, so to speak, of a full moon that's coming up, and I mentioned Dr. Mendoza is an astrology and astronomy expert, we're gonna be talking a little bit about the full moon and what it means beyond what you may hear on your local evening or morning meteorological weather report in terms of the tides and the like. But there's much more to the moon than that you really want to know about, because it affects you on a personal level and your loved ones. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how that ties in with astrology and then how that ties in with meditation. And then if we have time, we'll get into some of the, some of the other aspects of energy that I believe is important for you to know at least generally some aspect of. So that's a mouthful. And I know Dr. Mendoza is waiting in the wings. I'm just, as I said, it's just exciting to have such a remarkable mind to be able to join us from time to time. And I can't say enough about, well, I like to say my friend, but more so my mentor, who I respect so much, and what he's done and is doing, not just locally in his community, but around the world. So with that said, we're gonna open up our studio and welcome Master Glenn Mendoza. Master Glenn, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Darryl. How are you? Thank you for the invitation. I'm glad to be part of your program. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule. As I was saying, we have new listeners every week. I'm pleased and honored to say. But when I announce that you're going to be on the program, we always get a certain number that just, want to just hear your nuggets of wisdom and knowledge. So I'd like to, as we have in the past, for some of our new listeners, talk a little bit about the significance of you joining us this evening prior to a full moon within a few days, and what the significance of that full moon is upon us as individuals and the world at large, and then maybe that can delve into how that ties into the astrological sign, and then kind of broaden out on how that all ties in with energy, and then how meditation might fit in with that. I'm going to hand the mic over to you here, if that's something we can do.
Sure. Where do you want to start, Darryl?
Well, let's start with the fact that we are in the, well, within range, a close range of a full moon that's coming up. And astronomy-wise, tied in with astrology, but astronomy-wise, what is the significance of that full moon? I think most people think of a full moon, they say, oh boy, accidents, wolfman, there's so many things, that are thought of when people think of a full moon. But from your perspective, I'd like you to kind of share what that full moon means to us.
It's been known for a long time, these what we call the full moon effect, wherein during the time it's understood that during it's the peak energy of the month. So there is tremendous amount of energy during the peak full moon, and people tended to meditate during this time. If this is just a simple explanation, that when it's a full moon, you imagine three celestial bodies. We have the sun on one side, we have the Earth in the middle and the Moon on the other side. So during the full moon, the Moon is actually furthest away from the Sun, which makes the energy of the Sun or coming from the Sun intensified. So people were saying that the full moon actually, although it's nice in our eyes, this is actually, they were saying that the moon and the sun are actually luminaries. The ancients look at the moon and the sun as luminaries. What does that mean? Imagine if the sun is there, you don't see anything. When the sun is there, you don't see anything at all. You don't see the planets. And on a full moon, the moon is what you see. You don't see the other planets. So these two luminaries, according to the ancients, are very important. And one of the things they suggested that there's an intense amount of energy during the full moon. And people, like what Daryl was saying, it's magnifies. It has a magnifying effect. So like a fertilizer will magnify the grass to be green, but it also could magnify the weeds. What you're saying was that the wolfman or the, I have this person in Brooklyn saying during the full moon, the psychiatric ward goes a little crazy because it's just like magnifying effect. So what we do during the full moon, we take advantage of this intense energy and use it for good. The main purpose is bless the earth. According to the great spiritual teachers, during the full moon, since there's intense energy, you meditate as a group, and actually there are a lot of benefits to do that, just even with the purpose of blessing the earth. And as you bless the earth, this tremendous energy will pass through you or through the group and actually energizes you. And you could bless your projects. You could bless your family. You could bless the world. To mention the full moon, there are three what they call spiritual festivals during the full moon. And it's interesting, they seem to point to close to some holy days. The first one is what they call the Easter full moon, which is actually happens during the Aries full moon around April. So imagine that's close to Easter, or to the Jewish community, that it's the Passover. And during another spiritual festival was last month, and they have it as what we call the Wesak. Now this is close to the Buddhist celebration that it's the Buddha was supposed to have born, enlightened, and died during the Wesak time. And it's a tremendous amount of energy, and people use it. This coming Tuesday on June 14th at around 7 o'clock, I think 7:46 or 7:57 in the morning, it will be the third most powerful spiritual festival or a full moon. They call the Gemini full moon, or it's been also called the Festival of the Christ, a festival of humanity, or a festival of goodwill. So as you have these three full moons in a row, there is distribution of this, a lot of energy to disperse it to the entire earth. We've been doing this full moon meditation. It's not a religious, it's an eclectic approach, just meditation. And I remember I was telling Daryl at one time, people think that when you meditate, you are a Buddhist or you are a Hindu. But now everybody seems to be meditating at this time. Even executives, CEOs, CFOs, top athletes are meditating. So they knew the power of meditation. So it's open to all.
No, you said it was thought, you know, distant times past meditation as something that was specific to a certain sect of people, such as Buddhist or priest or even probably I've heard, you know, even witchcraft. You know, you hear all of these misnomers, if in some cases, if you will.
Yes.
And there are those that, please continue.
Yes, sure. No, actually, you mentioned about astronomy. Astrology is actually predates astronomy. So astrology has been known to us for centuries. And when I say ancients, they could go as far as Egyptian and Chaldean. They've tracked it down, Mesopotamian, Zoroastrian, even the Chinese are doing it. I'm not sure, growing up in the West, it may be a little weird for us, Western mindset, but in India and China, as soon as a child is born, the parents go to an astrologer for a reading. I don't know if your listeners to do that, you would say about 80% of the population, I don't know, 70 to 80% of population in India and in China will go to astrologer as soon as the baby is born. So this, talking about like what you're saying, there may be people, this is how I understood about, you mentioned about the witchcraft. I think at some point in time, the people are so sensitive to the energy. People who are sensitive to the energy, that means they could feel energy, they could see energy, and they could heal with this energy. And I think the church wanted to sort of control, maybe control, or people who are not ready for it, they call them witchcraft. And a lot of probably they never had a time in court. They were just victims of mass because people are not ready for it. But in the ancient time, people in the Bible, people in religious elders and spiritual, what they call that, leaders or teachers who are sensitive to energy. In the Bible, Moses will go to the Pharaoh and will do a little bit of magic and say, hey, listen, this is what it should be. That means they are aware, put it this way, they are aware and they could make use of this energy to manifest. So there are a lot of probably metaphysical, esoteric, arcane, or occult powers that these great teachers are, and the mass of men will just tell them that they are witches, and that's the end of the story. You understand, I'm speaking from a point of view looking hindsight. We tend to believe most of your audience, all of us are, again, on the, although the witchcraft was actually more exaggerated in the Western area, we are scared of witches. We were brought up, yes and no, Darryl, we were scared of witches.
True.
He said, oh, this is a witch. They will boil us in a cauldron. They are ugly, that they are manipulative. But how about the biblical people? They are, in essence, witches also. Saint Joan of Arc was condemned as a witch. It's not that I'm reading it, but a lot of people have witches. I have killed and burned witches. Okay, let me tell you a little bit of what I know. There are some places, you will be surprised, there are some places even in the United States, this is just recently, I would say the past year or couple of years, that there are people who are just so sensitive in a specific area. You will be surprised that they have mediumship. They have healing groups. They may even have this coven. I don't know if this coven, it's just my thinking. I was surprised that there's an area also even in the Maine. There's an area in upstate New York. When you look at that, they're open to this. We see witches when people at one time, at one point, if they see crystals, if they see nature, they, all of a sudden you're dubbed as a witch. Anyway, we're talking too much on the witch thing, but I have a feeling was that there's a good day also. There's a good thing about the witches, and what we have seen is probably not the good side, and there might be some truth in it also. I don't have a complete a total siding on that one. I've just been neutral. But you raised it, Darryl.
yeah, and that was the intent, and that's what we're doing. You know, stimulate thought and open discourse. And so, as you know, over the years, I'm going to mention things that might spark that spirited thought and energy if we can, and just not to harp on it anymore. But you know, right now in today's world, we may not call them witches, but people are villainized. Not to go off on a tangent, but people are villainized. It may not be called witches. It may be called, oh, he's evil or she's evil or he means, you know, no good. And I think we need to be very careful with some of that. I just do. Now that, you know, we're, you know, kind of open that cauldron as to how we, label things.
Pun intended.
Yes, exactly.
A cauldron.
But you like that one.
Again, just to end it, like Darryl, witches traditionally means they use magic powers. Sometimes it was said that they use it to harm others, but actually there are point in time where they use it for weather, use it for healing, agriculture, something like that. Does it make sense? Anyway, so I was surprised also, like in some areas, pockets of the United States, you don't call it witches, but they are open to this. Mediumship, reading. And anyway, so I think I am with you with this one to stimulate your listeners to have critical thinking. And what is really the two sides of a coin? Sometimes we, especially with the social media, with the literature, or with the news, we may see only one side. And I think a critical thinking is a person who's probably open to possibilities. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So segueing, back into what we were saying about astrology and astronomy, you were saying that astrology predates astronomy. So now that makes me think, getting, even just excellent, I believe, segue from that whole aspect of witchcraft and all of that, that there's actually a scientific side to this that I think, too often is overlooked. Can you talk a little bit about, you said it predates astronomy? So how, talk a little bit about astrology.
Yeah. If I remember, but because I astrology was even about 2,000 years before Christ. 2,000 years before Christ. We don't have telescopes.
Astrology?
So what happened was that astrology, if you look at it, they started with Chaldeans. Chaldeans are a advanced group like in Mesopotamia, and they spread through India. They spread to Greece, and they spread to different parts of the world. I would refer your reader to a very reliable source, Dr. Google. So the Babylonians are, if I remember, the Chaldeans are actually the Babylonians or Sumerians. They already do that. You'll be surprised. I was teaching in Cyprus and Greece. This one is in Cyprus because I taught first in Cyprus, and I saw a guy there, young guy. He said, "Master Glenn, when I look at the stars, I see the constellation. I see the movement of that. To me, there are just all dots, but actually, he could see it because number one." Think about it. This is how they said it about astrology. At that time, we don't have lights. So what do they do at nighttime? They look at the sky. They don't have malls. They don't have Netflix. I think they don't have Netflix, maybe, at that time. They don't have Prime. They don't have television. So at night, they what entertains them are the stars. Think about that. Then all of a sudden, they see that they are moving like... You should read the. I was given a book by Don Myers on Galileo's daughter. So Galileo was at that time around 16th century at the dawn of actually Renaissance. They could see Saturn was the only planet that they could see by the naked eye. This is 16th century. I was telling you, astrology was even way before that. Then Galileo, with the help of some telescope, was able to see the moons of Jupiter. There are 11 or 12 moons, I think, or even more of Jupiter. But she saw the Io, the Pylas. She was able to see that and more. In 1781, they discovered, guess what? Neptune. And on 1843 or 1846, they discovered Uranus. And it's only 1930 that they were able to discover Pluto. So again, like in medicine, there are some people who, like you were saying, we energy or metaphysical will be ahead of science most of the time. In this case, astrology is always ahead of astronomy because astronomy is the science backbone of the celestial bodies. As science is the backbone of medicine, and but not healing. So those, even now you realize, talking about healing, there are people who are open now to sound, colors, open to vibrations than we were before. Science may not believe it yet, but there's just a difference to do that now. Like infrared treatment used by NASA, the colors that they're using to heal wounds and all that. So there are a lot of things. Going back, astrology, that's a definite that one I know because I looked into it, the history of astrology and the timeline. They are really way back, 2,000 to 3,000 years before Christ even.
Mm. Wow.
So imagine thousands of years, they must have really looked into that, the energy effect. So the ancients, I call them ancients because they're no names, the ancients know. We thought that they were just looking at it. They know the energy of the sun. What is the sun? Energy is expanding. What is the energy of, in fact, the naming of the planets, like what is Mars? Mars is the effect of the sign of Mars gives you courage, aggressiveness, warlike, so you could do it also in both sides. You could be a warrior or you could be a crusader, you know, that kind of thing. Jupiter is the biggest planet, than like the sun. It's always giving. The biggest person, the biggest pocket, the biggest bank account, they were just so generous. So Jupiter has that. Saturn is like the law of the father, the strict father, the lord of karma. Does it make sense? And Pluto, mm-hmm. way back there, is like the unknown. What does it do? It's, it gives you transformation. It scares you because there are some Pluto in the sign. When it comes into your birth chart, you will be scared. Like, what is this showing? Is it the bad? What is showing now? Is it the bad or the good part of me? Something like that. So I'm giving you a capsule of what these ancients have studied for a long period of time.
And I guess, you know, now that I really think about that, astrology would predate astronomy because it takes tools to really get into the astronomy aspect. Whereas with astrology, I guess you're looking at patterns from the naked eye.
More of probably astrology will be on the energy aspect, while astronomy looks at the actual movement of the stars. Like, I'll give you an idea. The movement of the planets. So even in astrology, they knew that even before, that this planet moves around this one. Moves how many days a year around the sun?
Yeah, 365.
The Earth. So I think in Jupiter or something like that, they know already that Jupiter rotates around the sun, maybe instead of 365 days, I think it's about over 4,000, if I remember. 4,000 days around the sun. And Pluto, which is further, they know it moves around the sun about 248 years or something like that. These are numbers that I don't memorize, but I just round them off because I don't get the actual thing. So, but what happened, going back to what you said, the people who they're called ancients because they sense the energy, they could think it. And to take it as a grain of salt. They said these great teachers, when they look at the orbits of the celestial body, they could hear a certain sound during the movement of this planet. And that sound, at some point, it was written down that it sounds like Om. The Om, the eternal sound of creation and the universe. Some people say that at the center of the Earth, they said they could feel the vibration of Om. So Om, as a creating sound, emanates throughout the whole universe.
Wow.
But I think I'm saying a lot of stuff that probably moves us away.
So interesting about, you know, the Om piece. But as you know, as our listeners listen in and we have discourse, you know, ahead, it'll resonate more because, you know, of course that is something for me that is significant.
It is in the Bible. Okay, some people will say, what is it talking about? I'll sign off on this Darrell Clark show. It is in the Bible. It says in the Bible, in the beginning was what? The Word.
Mm-hmm. And the Word was God.
Was God. And the Word was with God, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? So that means by the Word of God, things became flesh. That's how powerful God is. So it's in the first sentence of the Genesis that a sound or word, actually in Latin it's called logos. Logos is word. So logos is equivalent to the word God. So by the logos, the word of God, the earth was created. So it could be any sound. And all things were made by him. So if you just translate what we know on the Bible, how they interpret it before, it makes some sense.
So the astrology was more of an energy approach, and astronomy sounds like got more into the science aspect of it.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Wow.
Yes. I think it makes sense, which is okay. I am okay for that. If you look at astronomy, it's the branch of science looking at the celestial objects, like NASA is looking at the astronomical science and studies of phenomena of objects, of nebula, galaxies, and comets, and moon, and stars. they're giving us, with the aid of this massive telescopes, the edge of the universe, which is good also. But astrology is the study of actually the influence of this celestial bodies.
That
astrology
ties it together.
Astronomy is the science of studying the celestial body. We call them celestial bodies, nebula, galaxies, while astrology is the study of this celestial body as it influences us and humanity and the world. Does it make sense? That we study astrology as it affects us. Okay, I'd like to know what my future will be. Okay, I'm looking at astrology, how it affects me. What is my sole purpose? Is it in the astrology? Okay, it affects me. It affects human affairs, and it influences us.
Yes. So with that said, when we think about astrology, the common person, we think about signs, right? Astrological signs.
Yes.
And so
I think all of us know now what our signs are. 95% of the time I ask them, like Daryl, to the listener, like Daryl was saying, I've been teaching this. When I asked a group of people, a couple of hundreds of them, I said, okay, who does not know their sign? Barely one or two people. Everybody knows when they're born, because we were aware. We wanted to know how this astrology affect us. Either we want compatibility, either we want to know our future, we want to know our love life, our prosperity, our success. They use astrology for that. They don't use astronomy for that.
So how did astrology come into being? Just, for example, Gemini, generally speaking, without getting into too much depth, how was that discovered? I guess from just observation of stars, what determined that this group of stars represents Gemini, this group of stars represents, Taurus or Aries or Sagittarius or Cancer, Leo and the rest?
Good question. My true answer for that, these ancients are actually meditate, and they're tapping into this universal pool of energy that gives them this knowledge. How do we know that? That sounds like a woo-woo statement. This ancients, this spiritually advanced people, when they meditate, they could see the stars and they could see, they could download in their mind what the effects of the celestial bodies are. Why? Because of their infinite and connection with the divine and God, they'll be able to tap into this inner knowledge close to what probably God would let us know. How do we know that? Again, in the Bible. Look at St. John. St. John, who wrote the Revelation. How can he able to know the apocalypse, the four horsemen? Because he was deep into contemplation, because the church would not use meditation. And he sees this vision. And he put, supposedly, of all the writers of the Bible, the apostles in the Bible, Luke, Mark, Matthew, John was the most advanced, because in his meditation he could see this and he put it in paper. So he's in our Christian way, it can happen that there are people who could meditate and tap into God's sort of wisdom, or close to God's wisdom. That's how I look at it. We'll never know. Maybe there are some people who do. I just know in India, if you look at the they call it the Indian they have Indian astrology also. You will be surprised that they are, interestingly enough, they called Vedic astrology or Indian astrology, and there are similarities on the Western. So I would tend to believe the root they have a different name for the planets, but the system is the same. So they must come from the same root.
So you've said in the past that the link between the astrology and the times of the year, you know, that celestial pattern for Gemini exists in a certain time of the year. Is that how that is linked?
Yes.
What makes Gemini that time period of May to June, and you know Sagittarius in latter part of the year? Are those stars aligned in a certain way during that time?
Daryl, you're just okay. Good question. I remember this person was talking about what the ruling planets. Okay, so they said. I talked to you about the luminaries. The luminaries. They said the luminaries are the sun and the moon. You are Cancer. What rules Cancer is the moon. And after Cancer is Leo, which is ruled by the sun. The sun is peak in summer, except in the southern hemisphere. And the moon is very important in the June part, in the solstice. So because of these two luminaries, they were able to plot how they think the ancients were thinking about the ruling planets. So they divided them into 12 signs, all of them would have a certain specific ruling planets, and every month of the year. So I said it predates astronomy, but the Julian calendar was that the Julian or Gregorian? The Gregorian calendar was only after Caesar came in, but they knew already that every month there is a sign. So In this part now, as we understand it, Gemini is the time wherein from those who are born from May 21 to June 21, they were born in the third sign of the zodiac called Gemini, the twins. So everybody have an idea, or some have an idea what the character is, so the Gemini. And later on, they're interested for it just for fun. They read horoscopes. They ask people compatibility and all that. So Gemini, now that we're talking about, we're in the month of Gemini, during this time, Gemini's energy is very strong. What does that mean? They call Gemini the twins. There are two twins. They're made of one mortal and immortal, Castor and Pollux. And what happened was that there are qualities we have during Gemini. Goes back to what are these qualities of Gemini? The Gemini actually is ruled by Mercury. Mercury is the god of speed, the god of intelligence. So Gemini are actually very adaptable. These are the qualities that they have. They acquire knowledge in the process of learning. They find out their opinions. Most of this Gemini, look at it also, for each sign, they rule a certain organ. The Gemini usually is the throat. That's why I would not be surprised with your booming voice, Daryl, that you have some Gemini. We have to look at your sign again. You must have some Gemini in your astrological chart, because people who use their throat very good, eloquently, intelligently, or express themselves clearly. These have Gemini in them. So they are adaptive. They have opinions and they could express it easily. So those are the qualities of Gemini. The qualities of Gemini, which usually going back to our start, we meditate, and we could meditate in a certain way. As we meditate during this full moon, we could meditate on the positive qualities of the sign. Like in Gemini, the quality is, I said, intelligence, adaptability, honesty, outspoken, creativity. They could be lively and active. But those are the positive qualities of Gemini. And we absorb them. We try to absorb them because, number one, I am not Gemini, but I would love to get, I would love to have the qualities of Gemini, where, like you, Daryl, you could just stand up there and speak eloquently and people will look at, what do you call that, make words like ribbons, or you could make a cathedral of your words or something. I cannot do that. I don't have that skill like a Gemini. So using that, we meditate and we get all these positive qualities.
Mm. So some of the positive qualities: honesty, outspoken, creative, very adaptive, and learn quickly. For our listeners, both live tonight and in the archive, speaking into the future, some of you can relate to that from those you know who are Gemini. Now, you know, we've heard Gemini has like a double personality, you know, because people think twins, okay? And, well, you said one mortal, one immortal. I've heard people say, oh, conflicting. You know, sometimes you'll get one, sometimes you'll get the other personality. Is that the tie-in with the twins? In other words, what does the mascot have to do with the sign? Like, I'm a Cancer, and you know, Sagittarius is a water bearer. And in this case, the twins, what's significant?
The twins is, if I remember, they were saying was that the twins Castor is the mortal, while Pollux was the immortal. They were inseparable. The way they look, the way they action. So what happened? This is where the twins of Gemini said. And what happened when Pollux died? Castor begged Zeus. She said, "Listen, I need my twins, or I sacrifice myself." And he was so touched by it. That's why they made this twin as a dual nature personality in our in our interpretation. So that's why they were saying that which one is coming out, who's the good guy? Is it Dr. Hyde or Mr. Jekyll or Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? I'm not sure anymore. But that's what they do. Your questions are known, but nobody asked them, Daryl. They knew already at that time. These are the signs of Gemini. These are the lessons that people who are born in Gemini will have to look at. These are the tools, like a Gemini have tools of intelligence, tools of expression, tools of expression, and tools of the throat to express creativity. So that's basically it. So when we meditate, yes.
I was just going to say, maybe what you're going to say is, so now with this being the peak energy for Gemini, those attributes, as in months past, you have stated, anyone can partake in during this particular time?
Yes.
Those positive aspects, I would say, of course.
Yes. Yeah, usually I just do the positive. People will we're going to meditate as a group. Before, we just have a group meditation, with 20 people all the time for so many years. Then the internet came in. We realized we could use that. Now, you as you have seen, we could have up to 500 to 700 people throughout the whole world meditating at the same time.
And we're meditating under the energy of Gemini.
We're meditating as a group. It doesn't matter. You know, we're meditating as a group. It's like we absorb the energy emanating around us. So although we're conscious about it, we're not really attached to it, something like that.
Okay, yes, I understand. Because of the fact that it is a full moon, it happens to be a full moon under that particular sign, but nonetheless, on a broader scope, we're receiving the overall energy that is available to all of us. It's not just specific to qualities of Gemini, although there, as you were saying, with the fertilizer and the grass, it doesn't mean there's any other attributes for that grass to grow. It just so happens that we're in that space of Gemini right now. But I mention that because I wanted the listeners to understand those positive qualities, although you're not maybe born under the sign of a Gemini. If you have something to do with a speaking engagement, if indeed the Gemini has those qualities of being able to speak and have that that perception of honesty and also being adaptive, then this might be a good time for a person to express themselves, especially if they have to express themselves in front of a group, if they're aware of that extra energy that might be available to them. How does one tap into that? Is it just a matter of intent, you know, to say, okay, I know it's available, therefore I am? You know, how do you utilize that?
Actually, just awareness of it. Like, in fact, as I realized when I look at cancer, there are some people who are just homebody. They like the home. They like the family. They will protect the family. Oh, you have a cancer energy. Like over the weekend, I met this woman. She said, I travel. I was in Hawaii. I was in this place. I was in that place. You know, she has a family of six, and the husband is, I was in Alaska. I said, you sound like a Sagittarius. You're right. You know, the Sagittarius wants to travel. So these qualities, you could be aware of it because it's the people who are having this quality exude it very strongly. It's inherent with them, within them.
So, tying into the full moon to bring it into a full circle and to utilize this this energy with the meditation, we can utilize these energies to bring forth positive things on a broad scale. And with more individuals, does that increase the energy if the focus is the same? For example, on, as you said, blessing the earth. If everyone is focused on that, does that draw a certain amount of energy with more people in thought? Thought is energy, correct? I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Everything is energy. Everything is energy, and energy is everything. I remember my teacher, Grandmaster Choa Kok Soi, he said meditating in groups of seven is you magnify it as if 100 people are meditating. Since now I mentioned to you, you've seen it, you've been there in the meditation, there'll be over 500 to 700 people in multi-languages, in different time zones and languages. We'll be meditating as a group in hundreds. Imagine what power that is. So you've joined us wherein we bless the Ukrainian war. Let you give peace a chance. We bless the massacre in Uvalde, Texas. You know, we use this energy in the meditation to bless catastrophes, war, difficulties with other people. We did this one during 9/11. We did this one during the great tsunami, killing thousands of people. We could use it in a positive way as a group. When these men and women with the will to do good gather together, the energy will be given, and energy of inspiration, energy of hope, energy of faith will be shared with them. We use it in our Western mindset. We use it as a prayer, God's blessings, a prayer asking for God's blessings for these unfortunate people. That's it.
Wow. Master Glenn, tell us about the upcoming global meditation. I know you've been doing for decades. That's coming up with this upcoming full moon on Tuesday.
I would like to challenge your listeners to do something. You know, sometimes if we're challenged, if we have to do something beyond ourselves, we get inspired by doing something beyond our needs. So I challenge your listeners to do something. Say right now we have, in fact, as Daryl was saying, we use this meditation, this global meditation, as a platform for good. In fact, we started to use this as a form of saying goodbye to the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, you've been giving
a
talk during the coronavirus when we were all locked down. Last month, I said, hey, I'm sorry, coronavirus, we love you, but this is our official way of saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm,
so we
mm-hmm.
bless you that all those who still have it be blessed, but we literally said goodbye to it. And look now, look at how our lives is now. So we're probably going to say goodbye again. And number one, that's one good thing. We say goodbye. It might have been painful for others because they've lost property, they've lost loved ones, they've lost businesses. But in a certain way, we are still here. So we could use that as a positive. And number two, we could use this energy to bless future, our future. That's my challenge. I want you to come join us. We already have the link, fullmoonmeditation.us. That's the link. You could use us. We'll be meditating at 7 o'clock on June 14th, on Tuesday. As a group, you'll join hundreds and hundreds of people. You'll see it from different parts of the world. We don't even have time to even recognize them, but we have consistent people from India, Singapore, Australia, Philippines, Europe. Even at that time, it's 3-4 o'clock in Europe, we have Italian translation. So anyway, I invite you to do that and use this energy to move what we want forward. What do we want now that the coronavirus is beyond this? Let's bless our goals. So one, we use that tremendous amount of energy to bless our goals. You see, a plan that doesn't have energy does not materialize. Anything that's energy, a person who has more energy will win over somebody who has less energy if it's a competition. Same way with goals and projects, that one with a lot of energy will materialize. So we will bless it with this tremendous amount of energy, and we'll even use the energy of other people with the intentions of blessing other people's goals also. I invite you to do that.
Okay. For our listeners, next Tuesday, that's the 14th, you can go with your smartphones or your computers to fullmoonmeditation.us. That's full, F-U-L-L, moon, meditation, .us. And if you go to that link, it'll direct you to the Zoom broadcast, world broadcast, and Master Glenn Mendoza will be there guiding us through this third and final exceedingly strong full moon meditation. There are full moons for the remainder of the year, but there are three specific, as he mentioned in the beginning of this, and for you that are just joining us, you can go to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, and listen to this in its entirety. But Dr. Mendoza did explain that when we're coming together, and just to simplify and try not to get off on some other track, we come together in one accord. There are energies that we will exude and utilize that can be used for good, not just for ourselves, of course, including ourselves and our loved ones and our projects, but for the broader good of mankind with all that's going on in the world. And as I said, specifically, you can use that energy for your own situations. And I would dare say that we're probably all going through something to some degree. Some may be considered smaller than other somethings. But take advantage of this opportunity. There's no coincidences, I believe, in life, that if you're listening right now, and you are, if you're, you know, if you're tuned in, that's for a reason. So do join us on Tuesday as we tune in and utilize these celestial energies for good. And that's all that we're utilizing them for. And this isn't tying into, and help me with this, Master Glenn, any specific religion or any cult or anything of that nature. I would dare say it's just basically pure out of grounded in pure love, if anything. And I'll let Master Glenn kind of close us out on that, what its, you know, its source is for those who are just tuning in of this meditation. And Master Glenn, I'm looking forward to us coming back and discussing more of this aspect of energy for wellness and healing, and talking more about the pranic healing that you and your center engage in, because I know we have a number of folks that you know, I see tuned in later. But yeah, if you can close out with us on just what that the source of this is, I'd appreciate that for our listeners. I called it love, but
thank you. I guess that's the way to end it. But I just want to add the fullmoonmeditation.us, that website, to all your listeners, was actually triggered by my talk with Daryl Clark, and he said, why don't we get a place wherein we could look in and log in and know what's going on with full moon and all that. So there's some talk about full moon there and energy. So I like how you ended. You look at the energy for good, for positive. There's always something good and positive. We just by nature of some people, they look at the negative. I guess we don't have a choice. The pain lingers on more than the sweetness, and we seem to be stuck with some of the pain as we are stuck also with the negative qualities of other people. But each person has a good quality, according to a great teacher. It's called Lord Krishna in Hindu. He said, that there's always, even the worst person, there's always some goodness in the worst of men, and there is also a bad in the best of goodness of man. There's always something. You're not a perfect. There's always something in good in the worst of men, and there's always something worse in the best of men. Something like that. So you're right. Just meditate as a group with the idea of helping something greater than us. Then the benefit, it will benefit us, our family, our work, and ourselves along the way. Thank you, Daryl Clark.
Thank you, Master Glenn, Dr. Mendoza. We certainly appreciate your time. Is there a website that individuals can go to get information about pranic healing? Because we didn't get into that at all, other than the full moon meditation.
We have a new website. During the COVID, we built a new website. It's easy, Pranic Healing, Pranic Healing, Healing, USA.com. PranicHealingUSA.com. So that's our website, and you're welcome to browse about energy, what we are, what workshops we have. As Daryl says, I'm busy, like I'm traveling tomorrow for a workshop in Tampa, as I was busy with a workshop in Baltimore the past weekend. So just trying to spread the energy work and energy healing, we call pranic healing, to those who are ready. Thank you again, Daryl Clark.
What is the website? One more time, Pranic Healing.
PranicHealingUSA.com.
USA.com. Okay. Wanted to make sure that
yes,
there was a USA on that. Well, we thank you, Master Glenn, Dr. Glenn Mendoza. For those of you tuned in late, we have had a serious, uncommon discourse with Master Glenn Mendoza, Dr. Glenn Mendoza. Join us to summarize what this really came to for global full moon meditation on Tuesday, June 14th, beginning at 7 p.m. You'll want to go to fullmoonmeditation.us just before 7 to reserve a spot, because the Zoom links do get full. And so we just thank Master Glenn for the benevolent work that he's doing worldwide, and we just wish him and his loved ones well as he travels and brings forth goodness as he travels and touches the lives of so many in a positive way. Well, with that said, we close out another edition of Productive News Weekly, and as I said, it's about love. I really believe that that's what it comes down to, folks. Love is the key, and I'm going to close out with that particular bumper tune. Enjoy, be safe, until next week. Tell someone about Productive News Weekly. I give you nothing but love, and there's nothing you can do about that. God bless.